Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/IXE. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Audible.com is your source for digital audiobooks. My personal favorite is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, read by Stephen Fry. It's amazing. So get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook download, and show your support for the Intellectual Podcast by going to www.audibletrial.com/IXE.
Hello there, citizens. I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the floaty that will not flush no matter how many times you try in the toilet bowl of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, telling you, please, talk hard and enjoy the mindgasm. Whatever the heck that means. After all, you are watching Intellectual Podcast with your ears.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 103rd episode of the Intellectual Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Dawson, and we got another great show for you tonight. It's the third in our Screen Junkies series. Tonight is Hal Rudnick, the host of the Screen Junkies program itself, and he's an incredibly fun guy. We had a great time sitting down and chatting with him. And I'm sure you will enjoy listening to all he has to say. We get into it about movies. We get into it about comedy, about sketch. It's very cool. It's a lot of fun. So enjoy it. And you can still hear my voice is a bit of a mess. I found out that after I got over my sinus infection, apparently I contracted strep throat. So I'm dealing with that right now. And I apologize for the lateness of this episode going up, and I apologize for the quality of my voice. So I won't hold you from the interview too much longer. I just want to remind you that the folks over at Halo Cinematic are putting on this amazing event with James Hong, and you should definitely go to halocinematic.com and check out the details on that event. It's something you surely don't want to miss. The price is really fair. You get to spend an afternoon or maybe a morning, I'm not sure what time of day it is, but you get to spend a bunch of time with the amazing actor James Hong, learning about the business, learning about acting, how to approach it, and how to survive in the industry. So totally, definitely worth your time to check out. So go to halocinematic.com and make sure you check out what they've got going on there at their new studio. Congratulations, William, on getting your studio up and running. And don't forget, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Film Consortium here in San Diego this summer. They've got the Dive-In Movie Party, they've got the Drive-In Movie event, and they've got documentaries on the Prado. So be sure to go to filmconsortiumsd.com and check out all the amazing things you can do with the Film Consortium this summer and network with your fellow San Diego filmmakers. And with that, I'll get straight into the interview with Hal Rudnick. Steve Schwartz and Mark Atkinson were with me on this one, and we recorded it in the living room of my Things Happen co-creator, Sebastian Cipolla, and he was very gracious to let us spend an afternoon at his house chatting with Hal. So here it is, Hal Rudnick, host of the Screen Junkies program, on the 103rd episode of the Intellectual Podcast.
Talk hard and enjoy the mindgasm. The Intellectual Podcast starts now.
And then you're here to, well, do us a favor, by the way. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For coming.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad we're able to work this out. A lot of Twitter messages exchanged back and forth, but here we are.
We did it.
Yes. Live on podcast. In a living room in Hollywood, California.
That's right. Not too far from the Kodak. So what were you doing around here? Work, obviously. But.
Oh, yeah. We were actually shooting a Screen Junkies episode earlier.
Oh.
Yeah, and we just finished. I had time to swing home for a half hour, grab a bite in between. We just shot an episode that's going to come out this Thursday.
Sweet.
Yeah. So
movie fights or?
No, just the standard Screen Junkies show.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're all big fans. And
oh, great!
It's awesome to meet you, John.
Yeah,
and Nick in person.
Oh,
yeah.
It's really cool that like things just keep kind of taking off. We met at WonderCon.
We did. Yes,
yeah.
I had maybe this hat on, but a shirt like this, and we were like, "Hey, we're gonna celebrate our 100th soon." But it kind of Dave had some injuries, and with scheduling and all that stuff, we kind of had to move it back till.
Yeah, I turned 40 2 weeks ago, and my body revolted against me going out of my birthday.
Yeah, I keep fighting the good fight.
I was in the ER one night for high blood pressure.
Oh, wow.
I thought I was going to stroke out. And then a couple days later, I blew out my knee. And
please take care of yourself.
Happy 40th. Yeah.
But how you blew out your knee. Okay.
Yeah, that's a little comical, right?
We were celebrating my birthday, right? My sister threw this, like, my sisters are, God love them. They put together this whole elaborate day, invited all my friends. I had no idea who was coming. They just
surprise party.
Well, I knew that we were doing something. They were like, keep the day free. It was the day before my birthday. And I'm like, all right. You know, so in the morning, they're like, well, you were going to go golfing, but because of your blood pressure thing, we thought maybe something more low key. So we're going to skip the golfing. You're going to have breakfast and then you're going to go bowling. I was like, great. Okay. So I go bowling. A whole bunch of my friends are there.
Are you a good bowler?
I won all the games that day.
So okay.
My high score that day was a 173.
Solid.
Yeah. So
Very solid.
Not bad. I don't bowl very often, but I bowl
173 is solid. You have a curve?
No, I'm a straight bowler.
Yeah. Same
power bowler.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying.
So we were playing and we were having a good time and I go up, we finish up, and I walk up to the counter to get my shoes.
Yeah.
And so I hand them their shoes, and they hand me back my one shoe. I lift my left leg up, I put my shoe on, and I put my foot down to the ground, and my knee goes, pop.
Oh, wow.
I looked at my sister and went, some shit just happened in my knee.
Damn.
I'm not sure what just happened, but there was a pop in my knee.
And what she was goes, like an ACL or something? Or?
I'm having an MRI this Thursday.
Oh,
so
boy.
I'll find out then.
I wish you the best.
I've been just dealing with it since.
Wow. But, right, so are you limping around?
Yeah, I've got a brace thing. I just took it off because it's been in all day. But
oh, I'm sorry, brother.
I'm limping. Coming up these stairs.
Yeah.
Like one leg way out, both hands on the rails.
Damn. Well, you're better than what you were, though. When we had John Bailey on the show.
Yeah, when we met John, I had a walker and a full leg immobilizer.
Oh, wow.
Because at that point, I couldn't put any weight on my leg because that was just 5 days after I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was about.
Actually, when we came up to meet John, I hadn't been off my bed for 4 days. I'd been laying
man.
In my bed with my leg elevated.
And you were on meds too.
And I was on Norco when we talked to John.
Wow.
So he's like, hello. Hi.
You're the voice.
Whoa, mesmerized by the voice.
He's hilarious, though. I think you guys are pretty friendly, right?
Oh, John Bailey?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I don't see him as much as we'd like because, he's based out of Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, he is, like, I just admire what he does because he's got the golden voice,
right.
Which is butter, just like butter.
Buttery.
But also, when you watch on his trailers, he has to nail the comedic timing with his voice. So he's like just got it's so much. He makes it sound easy.
Yeah.
But there are so many subtle beats in the comedy writing of the Honest Trailers that he nails everyone. So I'm such a huge fan of his, and he's a very nice man, good guy.
Yeah,
and you get a lot of people who mimic the Don LaFontaine type voice.
Yeah,
but it's very monotone. It's very like in a world, this is how things go.
Yeah,
but John's developed that rhythm. There's a rhythm to it, and it's a personality, not
balls.
Just the voice, which I think is fantastic.
Oh.
Yeah. Honest Trailers. I think I told you this at WonderCon. Honest Trailers is hands down my favorite thing on the internet.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just hands down. I look forward to every single one that comes out.
Man, I'm just happy that my show is on the same channel as Honest Trailers because Honest Trailers are a phenomenon. And they just won the Webby for best comedic series or I'm not sure what exactly, but they won a Webby for being awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
being awesome, yeah.
Yeah, just for basically being awesome. And it's like, what more can you say? They got a great team and now and forever. And I'm like Honest Trailers existed before I came aboard and started hosting the Screen Junkie show.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Oh,
way.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks. It was nice to be able to have that kind of lead in to build an audience, which has grown to 4.3 million or so subscribers. So.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, Nick's Wedding's at 4.5 right now. Woo! And that's only,
It's
old.
At 4.5 million views?
Yeah, yeah, we just checked it out before we interviewed him just to kind of...
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, I think, 5,000 when I checked it out, which would have been maybe Friday? It comes out on Thursday, right?
The episode, yeah, Nick's wedding video came out, like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it was right before we
either
met
that
with
Thursday
John.
Or Friday. It was either that night or the morning. It was at 5,000. Then 4.5. So
yeah,
yeah.
Wow,
good for you guys.
Oh, I mean that video turned out so well because Nick was genuinely surprised. It was fun. It was a fun prank, but he was genuinely surprised. And then you can't help but like. Getting feeling a little emotional.
I got a little goosebumps. Yeah.
It was.
I want
real.
The Rock to marry me off. I just got to find someone to get married to.
Yeah,
just the whole thing that you flew his best friend in, and then his parents. And, yep. You know, you're there. And, yep. Yeah. His wife's beautiful, by the way.
Oh yeah, lovely, and just a very sweet woman.
Yeah.
Everyone around Screen Junkies is like asking me who would you want to. Officiate your wedding, like Nick has the Rock.
Think that through carefully.
And after, like, I thought about it. I'm like, I feel like if I could pick one person, I'd want to go with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, that is awesome.
I feel like yes, Nicolas Cage.
Which version of Nicolas Cage?
That's
and really,
true.
He's probably done several other weddings as well.
Probably.
He does everything else.
Huh. I just, I want, like, I want Maniac Nicolas Cage.
Okay, got
like,
you.
Yeah, like a combination of
Face Off
and Bad Lieutenant.
Okay.
You know?
Port Authority or whatever. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Like, Nick, like, I want pure. Like unfiltered cage, you know.
Rage
I want 100% rage in the cage. Like that would be it. But
That's great.
I could dream. I could dream.
Yeah.
And I joke with those guys. Like Nick has struck up a friendship with The Rock. And since I've been on the Screen Junkies show, the only person I've managed to become friends with. Is Hollywood Boulevard Superman.
Oh, okay. I was just telling these guys about the documentary, Confessions of a Superhero, right?
Yes.
We watched
yes.
Optimus Prime walking his dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Just as I was driving here, I passed the whole nine. Did you see that Johnny Depp guy? They have a Johnny Depp down there he's not like Pirates Johnny Depp. He's like Johnny Depp in a hat. And you know how the real Johnny Depp wears like bracelets
and
scarves.
Yeah, rings and all that stuff.
This guy is like, he's got a hat and he's got like the mustache and like little like the goatee thing and and bracelets and a scarf.
Yeah.
I could see him getting past the velvet ropes at clubs and stuff.
Really?
Wow. He looks legit like Johnny Depp.
We knew a guy like Sam Diego does that. Down in San Diego, there's a guy named Sam Diego, but he does that too.
Oh, yeah?
Like, who is this guy? He's like a chunkier Johnny Depp. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor man's Johnny Depp.
He does red carpet stuff down in San Diego.
Yeah.
And all his stuff is geared towards helping a charity out for children. And
oh, this guy's charity is his drug habit. I kid.
He's
got to
support that broken dream somehow, right?
Yeah.
$1 a day helps every kid get his meth.
Oh, man. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah. When I lived up here several years ago, one of the part-time jobs I took as a struggling unemployed actor was I would be the guy, you know, the free movie screenings.
Yeah.
Yeah. For editorial and marketing purposes, I would be like, hey, you want to go to a free movie? And I would always have to go up here. And like every time I did it, I literally felt my soul just dying inside. So I'd like look at like Superman and all
you know
the other
what?
Characters. I'm like,
yeah, it's tough because like even like, I'm an actor and a writer and all these things. And sometimes it's like so close yet so far away from everything, you know? Like I was, when I was an extra, I did a bunch of extra work when I first got to town to Los Angeles.
Same here, yeah. Uh-huh.
And there is no thing, there is no experience that will give you that so close yet so very far.
yeah, that's very accurate.
It's like window shopping.
You think you made it big and you're literally
it's like window shopping on Rodeo Drive.
Do you guys, let me give you a quick fun fact.
Yeah.
Probably my most notable extra experience was for about a season and a half, I was coffee shop background on Friends at Central Perk. Yeah, that was
so okay. That's funny because
which seasons? The crazy seasons, apparently. Yeah, right.
In the
boner seasons.
The boner seasons. When Ross was involved with the British woman.
Oh, okay. Later in the series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yep. I'm gonna have to go back
British
and watch.
Woman, do you know?
I don't remember. She was cute, though.
Oh. I have a one of our Screen Junkies fans made a screen grab and sent me a picture on Twitter, and you could just see me there in the background looking up at the waitress as like Ross and Chandler were in the foreground.
Really?
It was pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
It was funny.
My most notable one is probably Fun with Dick and Jane. I get that.
Oh yeah, Jim,
it's on
Jim Carrey and
I played one of the business. Yeah, you saw
it. Taylor.
That's exactly me. That was me.
Oh, well played.
Sorry, going back to what we were talking about. Gunther.
Yes.
As an extra, he was like the extra you'd want to be like, because that's how he started as being an extra, and then they upgraded.
Rose to the top.
Yeah, got a SAG card. And
I see him. The real Gunther.
Yeah.
I do a lot of comedy in town, and he hangs out at this bar next to the theater where I do comedy all the time. I see that guy all the time. Walks around in a baseball cap. Yeah. Uh-huh. Gunther. I wonder what he's
Gunther.
Up to.
He's living those residuals.
Yeah, living off those Gunther residuals.
He's got to have fairly decent Gunther residuals.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah. He was in like every episode.
Yeah. Spoke in at least half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
He had some lines towards the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Are you primarily stand-up, improv, or a little bit of both?
All of the above.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with UCB, the Upright
Citizens
League. Of
course, yeah. It was founded by Amy Poehler?
Yes.
Okay.
Colbert might have done stuff there. I think he's primarily Second City and
IO
West.
Yeah.
But the original four UCB folks are Amy Poehler, Matt Walsh, who's on Veep and has been in a ton of other things. Ian Roberts. Ian Roberts, who is the he's the showrunner on Key and Peele.
Yeah.
And he's just very successful. He's got his fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah.
Matt Besser, who's a very funny comedic actor. And they're all great comedy teachers. They started this theater. And I do sketch and improv there. And I also teach comedy there as well.
Really?
Sketch comedy writing
and
improv.
I did some at the classes at the Growlings in Second City.
Mm-hmm.
But then I moved back down to San Diego. But I was just saying to someone a couple weeks ago, if I go back, I want to do UCB or IOS.
IO West.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spent, I was at Growlings for a long time. Mm-hmm. I did stuff there. I was in the Sunday Company over there, which is the performance level. And I was also at IO West on a Herald team there. So I kind of just, I love spending time at comedy theaters.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, and then I also do stand up as well.
Oh, you do? All right.
Yeah. Excellent. So a little bit of everything.
Where are you from?
Jersey. Yeah.
This guy.
Boom. What town?
Livingston.
Livingston. Okay. Yeah. My mom lives in North Bergen now.
Okay.
Okay. Is what county is Livingston?
Essex.
Yeah. I'm from Bergen County.
Okay.
Yeah. Love it. New Jersey gets
there.
A bad rap.
Always.
Yeah. But nothing like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good man.
Again.
I'm from Rhode Island. I went to URI, but
nobody gives a shit.
It should have been.
Whoops. Good man. Rhode Island, I know about Buddy Cianci.
Yes.
And
America's
Providence is known for excellent Italian food and corruption.
That's right. Federal Hill.
Yeah.
They get it all there.
Well,
where the mobsters eat lobsters.
Wait a minute.
Oh, nice.
On Family Guys. So the name Buddy Cianci Junior High School?
Yeah. It's named after a mayor.
Is named after the corrupt mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
But I think what I was going to say before I was rudely interrupted was I went to URI and like 90% of the people who went there were from Jersey too. So a lot of my
there
friends
you go.
From Jersey.
There you go. You got a nice taste.
Yeah.
You fuck any Jersey girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When did you leave Jersey?
I left Jersey. I went to college at Penn State. Okay. And then came out here shortly after college. About 15 years ago or 14 years ago or so. And getting after it.
Were you studying theater at Penn State?
I was a film major with a theater minor.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And, it wasn't like USC or UCLA as far as film schools go, but it was good. I got to make some stuff that I liked and, worked with some good teachers and, made some friends. It's a great school, but, more of a football and engineering school.
Yeah.
Well, it was a football school.
Beer drinking. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely not anymore.
That's funny.
But yeah, been out here getting after it, doing comedy and pursuing career in entertainment ever since.
And chipping away, but I think I was telling Nick, you guys are really high profile nowadays.
Screen Junkies is more than I could have asked for, and just look to keep growing it, and it's nice. It's it has definitely grown my Twitter following,
sure.
And one thing as far as developing a career in this stuff, it's be ready for the unexpected.
Yeah.
Jump in to whatever life offers you. Because I didn't expect that I was going to be hosting this pop culture themed show, but here we are. And but in other ways it feels right, because at UCB I host another pop culture show called The Tournament of Nerds, which is a pop culture comedy debate show. It basically asks the questions that we're all nerds, right?
Sure.
In varying degrees, more or less. We love this stuff. So, just asking the questions like, who'd win in a fight, Batman or Wolverine? And just making those arguments as
no brainer, it's Wolverine.
Yeah, right? it's hard to count out Batman. I mean, he's giving Superman a run for his money.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's just because Superman's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's got morals.
I have a feeling that by the end of the movie, they're going to be bonding over the fact that they lost their parents.
Yes, but totally. Oh, Krypton, back alley. Yeah. let's shake on it.
Yeah.
But then the show started off as like mainly sci-fi and superhero debates along those lines. But then it started to get weirder, like Walter White versus Ferris Bueller.
Ooh.
Or and then even weirder, Willy Wonka versus Abraham Lincoln. And we started bringing in like real life people into it.
Yeah.
So yeah, all these weird debates. So that show's been running. We've been doing that show almost 6 years at the UCB Theater.
Okay.
And we made it for The Nerdist as a web series as well.
Sweet.
And Tournament of Nerds has been a lot of fun. Among the other things that I do at UCB. But yeah, I love nerdy pop culture ever since I was a kid. So.
Sure, yeah.
Our first podcast was actually called Sci-Fi Sunday.
Mm.
The episodes are still online, but we've kind of not been keeping up with it. But,
right.
That's where we start. We all start from a nerd culture area.
Yeah, man.
And but we like interviewing people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been easier to get guests on The Intellectual than on our Sci-Fi Sunday show. Yeah. So
right.
We've just kind of been focusing on the one that that feeds our desire to chat.
Sure. Makes sense.
But it's how do you go from I'm acting, I'm background, I'm doing this stuff to I'm hosting something?
Hmm.
Well, it's
because I'm kind of in that transition myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually a director and a writer and a producer, but because of the podcast, I'm now starting to host things. Like people are asking me to host events and do stuff like that.
I think a large part of it, like you do enough of it. Like Malcolm Gladwell talks about 10,000 hours. If you do something for 10,000 hours, you become an expert. I don't know if I've done 10,000 hours, but I've done a ton of this stuff, like being on camera or being on stage hosting things or talking into a microphone. And you sort of just get like a muscle memory. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, okay, time to do this. I know how to do this. I know how to hit the beats for this. So it's like, you know, if you're... weird example, but hopefully this analogy isn't totally idiotic. But like, if you are like a Taekwondo master and someone comes at you and throws a punch, it's like your instinct to block it, you know? And the same, because you've trained so long at that discipline, it's just kind of, you see it, you know what to do.
Yeah.
And the same, I think, goes for this stuff. Like, you have the experience. You've been through it enough times that you more or less know what to do. You know what to jump on.
Yeah, I was doing the math myself on my interviews, and I'm at around 200 hours or so now.
Uh-huh. All right, so you have 9,800 more hours.
So I think we're maybe a little bit premature on this 100th episode.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he was talking about, like, in the book, he talks about, like, Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan and the amount of time they just spend out on the court and, like, to become...
how many,
like,
free throws they throw a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just incessant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, and you have to... I mean, I enjoy doing so many different things. I feel lucky that I'm able to do comedic acting, and I'm also able to host as myself. I love playing characters, though, so that's a good time. Like, coming up this Saturday night, my sketch show at the UCB Theater. The show is called The Midnight Show. It is on Saturday night at midnight, and...
fun crowd, I bet, right?
Yeah, super fun. We have a guest host every month, and we've had Key and Peele have hosted separately. Yeah. James Vanderbeek, Andy Richter, Fred Willard, like lots of like really cool people. Michael Pena, actor, some really like excellent hosts. We went on tour, my sketch comedy group, The Midnight Show, with Drew Carey,
sure,
from from Price is Right, and Drew Carey Show, of course. That was such a cool experience as well.
Was that heavy Drew Carey or skinny Drew Carey?
Skinny Drew Carey. Skinny Drew Carey. After the weight, Price is Right era. Drew Carey. That was really cool. He hosted our show. Sort of Saturday Night Live style. That's kind of how the hosting is. Mm-hmm. And we did like a best of. And then after the sketch portion, which was about 45 minutes or an hour, he would do a half hour or 45 minutes of stand-up. And it was a blast. And we toured all San Diego, L.A., Denver, Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Seattle. Yeah, it was a blast.
What venue you guys use in San Diego?
The American Comedy Company.
Okay, yeah, that's the best one. Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are coming back? Comic-Con?
Oh, Screen Junkies. Yeah. Yep, we'll be down there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. SDCC.
Yep,
we'll be down there. We're going to have a big panel down there.
Yeah.
We're going to do some live movie fights. So,
I like the movie fights.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I've only just started really getting into them since WonderCon.
Yeah. We have to dedicate yourself to that.
A little bit. Honestly, it feels like... it feels like us sitting around at home, like, no, that movie's crap. Let me tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
Steve and I especially, we're always at it.
Well, one of the biggest arguments that we've had is that, and that he's always, you know, shouted me down over it, is remakes.
Yeah.
I have just tried to avoid as many remakes, and they just, it's like fingernails on a blackboard.
Mm-hmm. And what's your take on remakes?
My take on remakes is, as an artist, I'm open to people interpreting shit all the time.
Okay.
You can like it or not like it, but it doesn't take away from the original that you loved so much.
Right.
You know? It's like, there's going to be a new Ghostbusters. It may suck.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change the fact that I love the original.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I don't see why you got to hate it.
You know what?
Just because it's a remake.
Yeah, maybe it could be good. The new Ghostbusters. Good. I don't know.
If you're
know.
Open to it, it maybe. Can be good. If you go, in my opinion, too, on anything is if you go into it with negativity, you're going to walk out of it with negativity.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Feig, they have Feig.
Melissa McCarthy.
Feig. Yeah,
I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
Paul Feig.
Paul Feig, I think is probably right.
Yeah.
Christian
Yeah, Weir. They.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids was, there's a lot of gold in that. And I hear great things about Spy.
That's, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Nick was saying that when we talked to him earlier.
Yeah. Like, it's one of my friends who's a movie reviewer, Amy Nicholson, she's the head critic at the LA Weekly. Uh-huh. She said it is such a surprise how
really?
Good
okay.
it is. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it now because that movie I was like, okay, I can't see what that's gonna be.
Yeah.
But she said no, it's really good.
Okay, good.
Because yeah, so the trailers kind of look like it's a Melissa McCarthy movie. It's I've seen her do this shtick over and over and over again.
Yeah,
but you know, fucking trailers don't. They can lead you astray, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I'm like, well, that's the 30 seconds of the movie that we know people will recognize from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's something different than what the trailers lead us to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of the remakes are unfortunate money grabs.
Sure.
You know, because, yeah.
We just heard about one an hour ago.
Oh, which one?
Oh, the Roxanne discussions to talk to do Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
That's one of those ones where I'm kind of like. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I really
like The Rock. So
yeah. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
I love The Rock, and he's been very, very good to all of us, including my good friend
Especially
Nick Mundy. Yes, but Big Trouble in Little China, that's a special movie with a very unique voice.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, even that much more so than Ghostbusters. I mean, Ghostbusters is amazing. But Big Trouble in Little China is just like its own brand of weird and culty.
Well, it's the camp of it is what makes it work.
Yes.
To do a big blockbuster style version of it and remove the camp, which it's likely going to do.
And you know what?
Of course it
will. Let's take a look at Point Break. Did you guys see that trailer?
Yeah, the trailer looks atrocious.
It looks soulless.
Yeah.
It looks like just such a generic action movie.
Yeah.
Like,
why even bother?
I mean, if it wasn't called Point Break and was called something else, like Extreme Sports Bank Robbers or something, then it might be, X Games Bank Robbers. like, maybe, but it lacked.
Say what you will of Keanu, the guy's got a personality.
Yeah,
he's got a magnetism when he's on screen.
Yes,
that matters.
Yes,
you know
him and
it
and
might
him
be
and Swayze
a crappy
together?
Performance, but it's still it's Keanu.
It's Keanu,
you know?
It
is what it is.
Sad Keanu or just whoa?
Yeah, I mean, Point Break has even spawned the live Point Break Live.
Yeah, yeah. I mean. Like
one
it or
lucky
not.
Audience member gets to play Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, awesome. Because
I love that
he
idea.
Does this weird iconic thing that people connect with and want to emulate. Yeah, absolutely. So this new version with it's just like looks humorless and lacking
not
any
fun.
Of the personality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm going to say is I'm open to remakes, but it's not to say that I will just accept everyone that's made as being worth having.
You know what?
Made,
I kind of fall in the middle of it. I don't know if that's a cop-out, but I'm open to them, but I do realize most of them will be bastardizations.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The one, I guess, Ocean's 11.
Yes.
That's a remake, but that was done well.
The done well. Ocean's
done very well. I thought that was way better than the
original. The original was a bore fest.
I grew up on the original. Okay, so I'm old enough to say
I threw up on the original.
You threw up on the original. I mean, this is a movie that tried to be a musical because it had Sammy Davis Jr. in it, but it was just the one musical number throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what I was looking for when I saw the remake. I was like, okay, how close to...
Don Cheadle doesn't sing.
Yeah, Don Cheadle doesn't sing. And the money doesn't get burned up. I mean, they get to keep the money. Mm-hmm. So didn't have that, melancholy
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, sorry. Yeah. 70-year-old movie.
1964.
See, but when I watched the original Ocean's 11, my take on it was, oh, there's the Rat Pack just hanging out.
Yeah.
Fun, yeah.
And there's something attractive and fun about that.
They're making a movie because they like to spend time together.
Yeah. Like
when I watched the new Ocean's 11,
yeah,
I had the same feeling. These are just a bunch of Hollywood's top people fucking having a good time.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. And to boot, they put out a pretty high quality film.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yep.
At least the first
I'm
one.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Well, even the next two I thought were enjoyable. You know, they weren't as good as the first one, but they were enjoyable and they were still the same formula. They all just wanted to hang out.
Which is it? Two kind of dips and then three is
two
better.
Two goes to
three
Europe. Yeah. And then three comes back to Vegas.
I think three is better. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this Dawn of the Dead remake? What'd you think of that? Zack Snyder's?
Oh, was that the one at the mall?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, they were both at the mall, but yeah.
Oh, the one, yeah.
Bing Rames and Phil Dunphy. Yes.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah. Thank you. Finally, we have someone on the podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, no.
I'm not a zombie guy, so, you know.
Yeah, Nick Mundy isn't either, so I'm like, Jesus. I'm going to have a guest.
I mean, that might be sacrilege to say, but I thought it was well done for what it was, but because it falls in the, you know, in the purview of the other, it's like, how dare you? But I don't know. I liked it.
Thank you. That makes it worth the trek up here then. For me, I've been saying for months, I'm like, dude, it's so good.
Mark, you're welcome.
Thank you, Hal.
We won't go to
Christopher Nolan though.
And you know what? I like The Watchmen. You know
The Watchmen's underrated. I need to watch that again.
I think The Watchmen gets a lot of hate because Zack Snyder tried.
I have to confess, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Have you read the graphic novel?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I have to confess here. My parents owned a comic book and game store.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I was exposed to The Watchmen. I read like the first few pages and it lost me.
Really?
Yeah. It was just so anti-superhero what I was used to growing up. I wasn't ready for that type of twist on the genre.
Steve abhors change.
Gotcha. I really enjoyed the graphic novel. I mean, I'm not, you know, that's not a groundbreaking thing to say. It's an amazing graphic novel. I feel like Zack Snyder did try to stick a little too closely. I mean, some of the frames in the movie feel like the frames in the comic book, but I thought
Does that explain Man of Steel? Watchmen was too close, so let's move as far away.
Yeah, Man of Steel, that is a whole other story. Not a fan.
Well, between the Watchmen and Man of Steel, you're still looking at a giant blue penis.
That's true. That's true. I can't mention the Watchmen without saying that opening sequence is brilliant.
Bob Dylan
set to Bob Dylan, The Times They Are Changing, seeing like. Giving us the exposition of what happened
from the
40s to more or less current, that was pretty startling. Beautiful to look at and really well done, that sequence in The Watchmen.
That actually puts me into an interesting question for you. What is your favorite opening of any movie?
That's a great question. One that I've thought about this a little bit, I'm really impressed. Now, I don't know if this is my favorite opening, but I'm really impressed by the openings of, okay, I'm going to take it way back, Touch of Evil, which is an Orson Welles film.
Yeah, Charlton Heston.
Yeah, Charlton Heston. Yes, Charlton Heston plays a Mexican. So let's...
We said way back.
Film school,
Hollywood's proud tradition of...
Whitewashing everything.
Non-diverse casting. Yeah. Welcome to Aloha Today.
Bombed.
So bad. It did so terribly.
Cameron Crowe should have known better.
Cameron
Crowe? Jesus.
Touch of Evil has like a 6-minute tracking shot, no cuts, just uninterrupted shot that establishes what is happening in this border town to start Touch of Evil. And then inspired by that, Robert Altman has like an 8-minute tracking shot to open up the film The Player. in I think it was like 92. And
Tim Robbins?
Right? Yeah, Tim Robbins. Yeah. The Player, by the way, that was one of the movies that really started getting me like excited about film because it was just so cool. It's just, I mean, Robert Altman is one of our great underrated masters of all time. And that movie is just such a biting dark comedy about Hollywood. One of the best like commentaries about Hollywood being a soulless cesspool like dog eat dog, people will kill each other to get one rung higher. The like if you haven't seen The Player, I highly recommend that film. Yeah. It really, like Robert Altman had like a 1-2 punch in the early 90s with The Player and Shortcuts, which is an amazing sprawling epic. Like as a very young person, like those movies really excited me. So as far as openings though, those uninterrupted tracking shots where it's one long take and you must get everything right, something about that blows my mind.
Did you ever see the original Manchurian Candidate?
I've not seen it in a long time. Yeah.
But there's one sequence where it's during the brainwashing of the squad from and it starts out they're brainwashed into thinking that they are watching a garden club, a speech at a garden club.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there bored and they're the guests of honor, you know, dressed in their uniforms. Mm-hmm. And all these women are in the audience. And this woman is just talking about, you know how to cultivate your flowers. And then the camera starts to pan and it goes into a 360 around the audience. And suddenly different people start showing up in the audience, like different communist soldiers are in the audience, and you come around, and then all of a sudden, as they come back to the beginning, they're in this gigantic lecture hall, and the voice has changed to this man who's telling them how these people were brainwashed.
Yeah.
And it's this one 360 degree tracking shot, and the entire set had to be changed, all the actors had to be changed while this was happening. So it was just this.
What is it again?
The Manchurian Candidate.
Okay, the original.
Not the
Angela Lansbury, Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, Angela Lansbury, Leo, Lawrence Harvey. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is that Lawrence Harvey played Angela Lansbury's son when they were actually the same age.
Wow. Well, that's Hollywood for you. Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal can't play. Did you hear about this? She's 37. Can't play the love interest of a 55-year-old man.
That's weird. Huh?
That's how it should be, right, guys?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a man's
especially
world.
Steve, because he's 50.
No, I keyed. But also, so those tracking shots to open movies are what the ones I'm impressed with. But like, just as far as like coolest movie openings or something,
Saving Private Ryan or something.
I mean, I love Dark Knight with the Joker busting into the bank.
All right,
that bank robbery.
He hates.
Oh, you hate Dark Knight?
I hate Christopher Nolan's
Batman.
Okay.
Period. I love Heath Ledger's Joker.
Uh huh.
And for me, Heath Ledger's Joker and Aaron Eckhart's Two-Face are the only things I enjoyed in those three movies for the most part.
Gotcha.
Didn't you enjoy Bane?
I enjoyed the Oral Nuts' version of Bane hip-hopping in the stadium. That was fun. But no, my favorite movie opening is Contact.
Okay.
Whoa.
With that long camera pulling away from the planet and the audio aging as it goes, and then finally it's just quiet.
Wow.
And that was before digital projection, so when it got quiet, all you heard was the spinning of the film reels.
Oh, wow.
In the theater. And for me, that was so impactful.
That's a vivid image. That's very cool.
It was for me, that just set that whole movie in motion for me because I'd read the book and I was super excited to see how they translated it to film.
Yeah.
And I was nervous that they wouldn't do it right,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I respect the hell out of Carl Sagan. And then I watched that opening and I went,
billions of fans.
Damn, they just summarized his entire view on the universe.
Wow.
In the opening of this movie, it's
I gotta go back and see that now, and you made me want to watch The Manchurian Candidate again too.
Yeah. See, that's what great conversation does, though, right? Inspires us.
Like,
to
I want to watch Watchmen.
Check
again.
Stuff out. I need to watch Watchmen. It's on my list of things I should watch all the time.
It's only been out 6 years,
but I keep forgetting to do it. It's got knees. It
does. And
oh, yeah.
Malin Ackerman.
Blue yep. cock.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Billy Crudup. Dr. Manhattan, no pants.
How did you end up on the Screen Junkies? How did that come about?
Well, a classic Hollywood story of my agent sent me up with an audition to go in, and I had to write up a couple of rants about movies or about pop culture stuff.
Sure.
And I wrote up something about something about Die Hard and something about, I don't know, just a couple of different things. Sure. And I went in and auditioned, and bada boom, bada bing, here we are 2.5 years later. Yeah, it was
2.5 years. Guys are
John's been doing it for 2, and I guess Nick too, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys said around 2 years, yeah. So
yeah,
and 4.5 million viewers. Good for you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. I just came back from England.
They
sent me there for a promotional thing for The Kingsman, and that's like,
oh, you're there for work. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like
Kingsman the movie.
Yeah, Kingsman the movie.
Oh yeah, I think it's your newest.
Oh. Yeah, I really liked it. The ending was I thought that was a weird
rainbow explosions
how he gets the princess
the locked room
the prince just the specific wording of the princess's offer. I found
that did come out of nowhere.
And believe I'm no wilting violet or something, but like I don't know it felt out of place.
Yes,
to me,
I agree.
In that moment.
Yeah,
but otherwise it was. It was a weird movie. It was unexpected because the tone varied in so many different places.
Yeah.
But very enjoyable.
Yeah. I had no expectations going into it. And I walked out and went, fucking, yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
We got stuck. We were shooting a film. Actually, Sebastian here, he and I co-wrote a film together, a little short film. And we were shooting up in Idlewild back when it snowed on Huntington Beach.
Okay.
It snowed in Idlewild bad that we ended up getting stuck in this cabin up there for like 5 days.
Oh, geez.
And so we're stuck in this cabin. We couldn't drive down out of Idlewild. So I was like, let's go watch a movie at the little one screen theater here in town. I don't know what they're showing.
Yeah.
You know, we go over there. It's Kingsman. I'm like, sweet. This movie kicks ass. Let's watch it.
Wow.
It was fun.
It was literally, as I say this, playing in a barn. It was
wow.
It was,
oh, really?
It's a converted barn.
Wow.
Theater. I gotta go.
And they handed They handed out blankets.
Damn.
It was so freaking cold. They handed out blankets. And the place had this wonderful manure aroma to it. So it's just this.
baked into the walls.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like everybody from the town is like,
that's memorable. That's cool.
That it was absolutely memorable.
Yeah. Going out to the movies used to mean something.
Yes.
I think I saw that in when I was in Thailand. I saw it with that girl. That's my story.
I spent some time in Thailand.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Okay. I was in Thailand.
It led to something. Sweet.
yeah. I spent a month and a half shooting a kids action adventure movie in Thailand where I played a villain.
What?
Chasing children through the jungles of Thailand. Yeah.
You sure that was the actual premise of it?
It was either that or maybe it was a sex tour.
Okay. So you're there for 6 weeks, huh?
Yeah, for six.
Was this a couple years ago?
This was about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Nice. And I was in Bangkok.
Yep.
A little town called Krabi. It was a
beach town. I've been there. Yeah. I've been
and there in a rainforest village called Ganchanaburi.
Ganchanaburi. Yes. Yes.
And that's that where the famous bridge over the River Kwai is located.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
God, yep. What have I done?
yeah, so it was an amazing experience. I mean, just the American dollar goes so far there.
Yes. Yeah, it does. I've been there 4 times. My ex-girlfriend was from there, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
last year, David and I went to the Philippines.
Oh, okay.
His family is from there, and we spent...
Sorry about Pacquiao. David.
Sorry about Bruno Mars.
Okay, let me ask you, what was the most revolting food that you ate while you were in Thailand?
This is okay, so I didn't go too crazy eating. Like, I ate, like, you know, skewers and stuff. Sure. I didn't go too crazy eating, like, weird stuff. So I just have to say, I ordered some steak sushi, which was really, like, yeah, it was like Kobe beef sushi. It was like a roll with beef in it. And it, I was like, oh, this is going to be some next level shit. And no, nah, it was not so good. Very yeah. bad.
I went to the extreme.
Really?
Yeah. I had balut.
What?
It's called balut. It is a steamed duck egg with a twist. And the twist is there's a duck inside.
Oh, my God.
What is this? Yolk have feathers.
You ate right out of the shell.
And chew the and embryo? Chews,
you know, it's like...
Chew that little bill and
yes,
little
it's,
webbed
it,
feet?
Luckily, it was a dark bar that I was in.
Oh, I thought you were saying, luckily, it was a dark-winged duck.
No. Who we've actually had on the show.
Yeah. He does the intro, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does. No, it's the white of it is like chewing on an overcooked white of an egg.
Okay.
It's really, really thick and chewy. And then the rest is like chomping on cartilage. I mean.
Right. Which is a disgusting feeling.
Yes.
That's soft the worst. That's right. That is, and you just just described the worst.
Yes. Just, yeah. Yeah. Oh, like I wrote a blog about
like,
it.
I'll be eating like a delicious chicken, and then like I'll take a bite that's a little too cartilage, yeah. and I'm just like, just the, that moment, I'm like, oh.
While we were there, we recorded a video.
Brave man.
The day after he did that, we went to another restaurant that my aunt owned, and they had you know, chicken intestines and pork intestines and dinner guan, which is a pork blood stew.
Okay,
and you know, a bunch of stuff and. And we videotaped the two of us basically doing like Anthony Bourdain, like you know, trying different foods. And we were pretty good all the way through. And actually, I liked almost all of it until we got to the sow's ears. Yes. And that was literally fat and cartilage.
Yeah.
God.
The long, flat portion of the ear, it's the cartilage, like earlobe part tart that's just chewy. And it, just watching him just trying to not throw up and chew at the same time. Was just
Can't they just make it like a chicharrone or something?
Yeah, right.
I asked them and I said, "Don't you use parts of the animal that like other people like stuff that's out the outside of the rib cage?" And they said, "No, that's boring."
Oh man,
that's boring. Done that.
It's boring.
It's boring.
Hey, you know, stuff we eat would disgust other cultures. I mean, just the way Americans live, probably discuss. Yeah.
Well, we just ate. We went to BK.
No wonder they're so big.
We
look at that size of the
portions. Fries. I mean,
yes. Oh, BK like, chicken fries. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much actual chicken is in chicken fries?
I have no idea.
Well, let's see. Well, let's break it down.
Oh, you know what
the
I heard?
First part says chicken.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Just the word.
No actual chickens were harmed in the making of Burger King chicken fries. You know what? I have to tweet that. I'm going to tweet
that. Yes, there you go.
Chicken fries at all. They're not chicken or fries. Discuss.
Did you guys see Game of Thrones last night?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Man, they just upped their game. That was...
Season finale?
No.
No. There's still two episodes.
There's still two left. Yeah, that... all right, can I give you a little insider, like, Screen Junkies thing? Mm. We're talking about... Because I've enjoyed Game of Thrones the whole season, but there's been a lot of talk on the internet that it's like, it's kind of coasting a little bit. Yeah, like, there have been no, oh, shit moments or anything
no
like
red
that.
Red weddings.
Yeah. And then there was a really controversial rape scene a couple weeks ago that turned a lot of people off.
Please.
I mean,
it's Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones.
It's not
it's
a
medieval
nice,
rape.
It's not a nice
not
show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. You're getting upset because of a fictional character gets raped, but you're okay with the rest of the season where, let's say, you've had incest, you've had.
Yeah. You're okay with the NFL.
You're okay with the NFL.
I mean, they beheaded my favorite character, in the first season.
Oh,
so
Sean Bean?
It's okay. Which is to be expected.
Yes, yeah. Sean Bean.
Yeah. But so we were going to do an episode, has Game of Thrones jumped the shark? And then just to, you know, because it's like, even though most of us still really love the show, there's been some talk. So we get some haters on and have a good conversation about it. But now... That is out the window. Everyone is like, last night's episode was just pretty mind-blowing battle. Pretty mind-blowing battle.
I mean,
yeah, sorry, spoilers, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, don't spoilers, I don't care.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't watch it, your fault.
Yeah.
But the one scene at the end where you have the White King, mm-hmm. White Walker King, Just
why gotta be a white king?
He's a white walker.
Okay, I know.
Snow.
Ice. White. Sorry.
Yes.
Written by a white guy. All right. From Jersey.
George R. R. Martin from Jersey.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Hoboken.
Oh, Sinatraville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a mic drop moment where, you know, all of the wildlings are slaughtered on the beach. And he just raises his arms and raises the dead and just stares out. And he just basically could have just dropped the mic and said, there you go, motherfucker.
Yep. Yep. Great stuff. And setting up some mayhem to come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a great episode. And then you had, like, just filled with some cool nuggets, like Tyrion and Khaleesi. Finally talking.
Are you looking forward to the
interaction was awesome.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what we were talking about with Batman and Superman. Like, hey, you know, we both, you know, had shitty parents.
Yeah.
So this we got some here.
Way to bring it around, David.
Yeah, that's what I'm good at.
Boobs. Are you looking forward to seeing the fat Khaleesi's at Comic-Con this year?
Oh, man. You know what? But here's the thing. If we're going to talk about fat Khaleesi's, we got to talk about the fat Deadpools, Batman, the fat Batman.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
there are way more fat male characters than fat female characters.
It's Batman of sweat stains.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. I was just driving by and I saw Spider-Man with a good paunch.
As long as the Batman doesn't have guano stains, you're fine.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what? It wouldn't be Comic-Con without them. God bless them. Yeah. You know,
Princess Leia's slave girls.
Yeah.
Yes. And
that needs to stop.
And this, you know.
They're ruining my childhood.
Listen, I have a dream.
Ruining my boner.
I have a dream where a fat Princess Leia could be chained to an emaciatingly thin Jabba the Hutt.
Or he's jacked.
That's episode 8. Yeah.
Because this will be Nick's first Comic-Con. We were trying to tell him what it's like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, physically you'll fit in, Nick.
Sounds like he's terrified of the crowd.
But you got a lot. You just got to, you know, just give yourself over to it.
Yeah.
It's some of the best people watching in the world.
Oh, the,
Yeah.
My favorite time of year.
Body odor. Miles around.
Oh, from here to kingdom come.
Yeah.
Hither to yon.
We can smell it all over the county when you guys are there.
Now, living in LA and going down to San Diego, we're from San Diego, so we wanted to stay there. How about you? What do you think?
Keep it in San Diego.
Purist? Okay, thank you.
Keep it in San Diego.
They were talking about bringing it up to Anaheim.
Oh, yeah.
If you're so bland.
Screw that.
Right?
Yeah. Screw that. Yeah, it's bland. Like, it's like, it's a little bit of a getaway. It's an escape.
Yeah.
And that convention hall, mm-hmm. like you're not going to, there's nothing as big as that, right?
Except for Vegas,
Except for Vegas, yeah.
Well, actually, WonderCon's going to be here at LA next year.
What?
Yeah, because Anaheim's going through renovations next year.
WonderCon's going to be at the LA Convention Center? Uh-huh. Oh, that's crazy. I mean, I don't mind that for one
that's
year.
Easier for you.
For 1 year, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'll be going to the LA Convention Center on June 27th and 28th. For Sneaker Con.
Whoa.
I am
These are nice kicks, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They're Air Jordans.
The movie sneakers?
No.
What is Sneaker Con?
Sneaker Con is an event for people who are into sneakers, aka sneakerheads.
Shoe hoarders, huh?
Yep, shoe hoarders. Okay,
so the Imelda Marcoses of the world.
The Imelda Marcoses of the sneaker world. Of the sneaker world. You know what? I figured out what draws me to sneakers and what excites me about sneakers, and I can, and it absolutely is in terms that you guys will get. I'm certain.
Sorry,
we're out of time. All right. Good night, you guys. So basically, when you're a kid and you dress up for Halloween and you wear a superhero costume and or you put on a cape and it's like you want to wear that to the store and you want to wear it to school and you want to wear it days after Halloween because you feel special.
Sure.
I feel the same way when I put on a dope-ass pair of Air Jordans. Air Jordan, there is none higher. It is, to me, it is. It makes me feel
it's like, your Iron Man suit.
It's my Iron Man suit. That is it. I swear to you. And are you guys sports fans?
I'm a soccer fan.
Okay, so that's a no.
I set that up for you. I set that up for you because I know how it works.
I keyed. So and as a sports fan and growing up just like a sports fan and like, you know, still like I am older than most of the athletes that like I'm a fan of, but whenever I see like an athlete in public, it makes me feel like a child. Or like, you know, I was just like a few years back, I was hanging out with my dad, a friend of mine, and one of the coaches for the baseball team we root for, the Minnesota Twins, which long story, but it is a long
story. That sounds like it's a long story.
No. But the players were walking around in the hotel lobby, and I'm just like, oh, there's that guy. And you know, like, I'm older than this guy, but I'm just like starstruck by that, you know, just because like they play the game. They get paid to play the game. They are the heroes of the diamond, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. It all ties in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, makes me feel like a superhero.
Okay.
So.
That's fair enough. I don't know that anything makes me feel like a superhero.
What type of panels? Yeah. How to keep your sneakers clean? I don't know. I don't even know if they have panels. It's a. I've seen lots of pictures of it online on Instagram and on websites, and there it's just a giant trading floor of people buying, selling, and trading sneakers.
Wow. You
probably
Who?
Chumley from Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah, Chumley is a huge sneakerhead. Yeah. Chumley has a giant room filled with sneakers. Yep.
How many do you own?
I have about 20 pairs.
20? Okay, that's not bad. That's doable.
20 pairs of a combination of Air Jordans, and I like Kobe Bryant sneakers, Kobe's.
Wow. Nick Money's a big fan.
Oh, yeah, he's got...
I went to the bathroom in his house.
Yep.
And
in the bathroom?
Yes, he was out of toilet paper. But I walked past the room, and he had a wall. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but of just hats.
And you went in there and tried each and every one of them on.
And that's where I got the intellectual hat.
Great,
right?
No. I should have left it. I should have given one.
I have. Oh yeah, I have these. So that's about it. So.
You know what?
Are those even sneakers? What are those? Those are like Costco.
So does this one, so they match.
At least he's consistent.
I'm wearing a matching pair of socks.
Throw those socks away.
Why? They're still good.
You know what?
So that white part.
That's me.
That's your skin?
Yes. Yes, I am that white.
I thought those were white socks, dude.
You know what? I used to have a lot more holy socks, and then... a combination of friends and girlfriends have made me throw them away.
Yeah, I don't do holy socks.
Yeah, Steve doesn't have that.
Anything that many.
I don't have that type of friend. Wow. Just have these guys that give me shit all the time.
No, hold on.
Now, to be fair, we used to go to Disneyland all the time. Like, we're fucking Disney freaks.
Yeah, I went down a couple weeks ago.
We went to Disneyland one time. He shows up in a shirt. And my sister and I look at him like, oh, fucking hell no.
What
and
was
we walked
it?
His ass straight into a store. We bought him a Disney t-shirt, and we're like, go change that fucking shit and throw that shirt away.
What was it? Describe it.
Okay, I would call it vintage.
Okay, but what would an objective jury call it?
An old, tattered t-shirt.
Could you see his nipples?
Yeah.
No. But would you? But it was a Tomorrowland 98 shirt.
I want to hear David's description.
This shirt A. Once upon a time could walk on its own.
Oh.
But it already died.
Wow.
So he was wearing a dead shirt. Every seam, like everywhere there's a seam.
Yes.
Was patched with holes, like just pockmarked with holes.
Oh my God.
Because the seams were pulling apart. Not at the seams themselves, but the fabric was tearing everywhere. There were random holes in the body.
Wow.
Right? All the shit was faded on it. And because he's not the cleanest eater.
Oh no.
The whole front looked like, you know, a Jackson Pollock painting.
Jesus.
Ketchup, mustard, like, barbecue sauce.
We are not fucking walking around the park with you in that shirt.
Wow.
Not again.
And then last night too.
Wow.
with the suspenders. We recorded the intro for John.
They're giving you a hard time here, man.
I know.
This is my wheelhouse.
Okay. Getting a hard time.
We recorded the intro for John Bailey's podcast, and then he comes into the room with the, with those jeans and the suspenders, and Teresa's like, "What is that?"
His pants are up. Cash
is the table. Wow.
They were like mom jeans on a guy with suspenders.
They fit nice. They were comfortable.
He's got a mom's butt.
And you know what?
And I didn't have to constantly pull them up because I'm wearing a belt.
Good for you.
Over my belly.
So comfort's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for you.
He yes. did look very
but those socks.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Lose the socks.
I realize now.
How many holes in the toes?
None. The toes are solid.
How'd you even get them in the ankle area? Like, what? It's where the ball of the ankle
Well, that's
would
where
be.
I grab.
Audience.
Okay, I'm not the easiest person to bend over to put on socks, okay? Okay. I'm not that limber.
All right, I think
so
I'm
trying to put. So trying to pull them over, I kind of pull on it and, you know, rip them, trying to put them on my gigantic, you know, Sasquatch type feet.
Your donkey feet?
My big old donkey feet.
I can't do it anymore. The roast of Steve is done with me. I feel bad for him.
You know, I turned into my father now. It's like,
you don't want that.
You know, he goes out in public now in shorts and, you know, those support socks, those diamond black support socks.
No, that's my dad. My dad passed away a few years ago. He had diabetes, and like he loved wearing Crocs towards the end of his life.
Oh, wow, really?
Because he had bad feet. Yeah,
likes to buy those Crocs the sneakers with the big Velcro straps on them.
Oh, yeah. My dad, too. Yeah, he would wear those.
And he's like, Steve, I can get like 2 for 1. You want a pair?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. No. It's like, they're good shoes. They'll last you. I'm like, sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Crocs are really made for the first couple of years, then like the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Anything in between. Like...
I'm pretty sure they aren't going to have any of the support sneakers with Velcro at SneakerCon. When I go. No.
Not the Ruse?
Not the ones you can buy in CVS.
Remember
the
Ruse are pretty cool. Yeah. With a little pocket, a little zip pocket.
A little zipper pocket which you put absolutely nothing inside.
Okay, all right. Now you're talking.
I think I saw an ad. Reebok's brought the pump back.
Oh, yeah. Reebok's got the pump. Reebok's got the pump. All right, so let's... So you guys aren't into sneakers. I can tell this is... Okay, let me ask you a question that I feel like is right in your wheelhouse. Top 5 burgers in L.A.
Umami.
I love Umami.
I've never eaten Stout. There. He's going to bring
Stout.
Me.
Yeah. Sing it. Preach.
Those are the top 2 for me. I don't know much about
Does
the rest.
Does In-N-Out count?
In-N-Out's classic. In-N-Out.
In-N-Out would be in my top
stuff.
5, of course. But I don't know what the other 2 would be at this point.
There's a good one right over here. I totally forget. It's at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. The diner in the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel is a burger.
I
place.
Almost suggested the Roosevelt Hotel for this when we were trying to find a location. Yeah. Anyways,
next time.
What about in San Diego?
Dad's, I can do that.
Go.
A lot of people say Hodad's. There's one actually downtown. Hodad's. Uh-huh. In fact, you know who really liked it? You mentioned Jump the Shark earlier. The guy who invented that, John Hine. Are you familiar with him at all?
The writer that coined that phrase?
Yes.
Okay.
He's on the Howard Stern Show. And
gotcha.
So he's a big burger fan, and he said that was delicious. That was the bomb. One of the best burgers he's ever had. So,
gotcha.
Hodad's downtown. Hodad's. And went next time. But a lot of people say Rockies.
Yeah, Rockies is good.
You know what I'm talking about, Rockies? Yeah. Waterfront used to be up there.
Yeah. Burgers in San Diego. I'm not like...
What about California burritos?
Oh, that's easy. Well, they don't have them up here in San Diego, right? Or up in L.A., right?
We're so close to Mexico.
You can pick and choose here and there.
Oh, okay.
We're so close to Mexico down there, you can throw a rock from any corner and find a decent place with a good California
burrito. Yeah, if it ends with Bertos, there's Albertos.
My favorite burrito is Rico's Taco Shop in Encinitas, which is kind of southern North County along the coast.
I love eating junk food, but I pick and choose my spots. I eat very healthy just because I have weird digestion. It's kind of a blessing and a curse because it's kept me like slim, but like because I will like feel sick and be unable to move if I like really so like pig out. But I love burgers and burritos and everything. And one thing I made a kind of a date with a a friend of mine, she and I, old friend, were gonna watch the NBA finals coming up this week and have the Little Caesars deep dish bacon crust pizza.
I've seen it, but I don't.
I've never had it. And I watched this review.
Good luck with that.
I watched this online food review of it by this guy. He's this black dude who does online food reviews. And he has a YouTube channel, and he did one, like he did one for Five Guys, where he's like, "It's Five Guys burger," and like he's just like he's very funny, and like he's so fun to watch. He did a review of this Little Caesars, and I'm like, "Damn, he's making that sound good." And I'm like, "Oh, and the bacon, it's all crispy. Oh, I'm in. I fuck it. I am 100%. I must try this." So yeah, that's.
We'll be looking for your tweets that night.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I got a live tweet, the Little Caesar bacon crust. Yeah. Got a live tweet, the Little Caesar bacon crust.
Yep. Awesome.
Awesome. You got a big Twitter following, it seems, right? I mean, I'm one of them.
Yeah, about 32,000 now.
32, yeah.
It's
only, you know, 31 and change more than us.
Yeah, I mean, I got to thank having a weekly show on a popular channel.
The content's been really, I mean, especially lately. I think the first one I ever saw was when you had Morgan Freeman read the Fox say.
The Fox, yep.
Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
You guys?
Yeah. Man.
It's, they were promoting, what, Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
Las Vegas. Yeah, that video ended up getting about 6.5 million views. And I flew to Vegas. I had one job, get these four A-listers to do this stupid thing. And we got it. It was
Michael Douglas, Kevin Kline, Morgan Freeman, and De Niro to read that stupid song.
Did you guys have that set up with them ahead of time, or did you literally just like try and find them and make it happen?
We had it set up. I went to the junket. Okay. Yeah, I was. Otherwise, I would have been tackled by security.
Vegas, weird town.
true. But no, I went to the junket. The people running the junket knew what I was going to do. I don't think the actors knew.
Yeah.
And it was up to me to persuade them. And all good. We got it.
Yeah.
That was one time where we set out. We said, we want to make a viral video. And we did make a viral video.
Yeah, you made it.
Because otherwise, how do you...
Put you on the map,
man,
I guess,
it's a crap
right?
shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one. Our biggest one before that for my show, The Screen Junkies Show, was Christopher Walken reading transcript of Honey Boo Boo.
Yes, I've seen that one too. That's a good one.
that was
Christopher
fun.
Walken then, reading anything is
you and your mom watching The Human Centipede.
Oh man,
or
I couldn't even
Mother's Day special.
I couldn't even bring myself to watching you guys watching it. Like
watching 50 Shades of Grey.
David, just click on it at least, and then walk away. We need the clicks.
He needs the clicks.
Do me a favor, anyone listening. How big is your listenership?
It's big enough for San Diego. Not as big as yours.
No, okay. But after I'm thinking after these guys, it'll expand.
Boom.
Hope so.
Blowing up.
We'll give you the link so you can tweet that out.
I will do. Absolutely. But anyone listening, please just all. I don't ask you to watch the video. Just click on it.
Do your laundry.
And here's the thing. I don't ask you to read my tweets. Just subscribe and then mute me. Okay, that's fine. I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Steve was bitching all afternoon. Like, I can't stand Twitter. I can't stand Twitter. My feed is just full of all this crap.
Here's
the
thing.
Ignore it, man. I want to delete it all. Just ignore it.
If you want to be in like media, you got to deal with social media. It's like that's how to promote.
Yeah.
So
it's how do you get the following?
That's a good question.
I think you're following me because if we can communicate via
yes,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just like John, you'll probably unfollow me.
Mark thinks that John turned him off.
Oh, John Bailey? Why?
Because I sent him. I'm like, hey, John, thanks a lot. We'll send you, you know, the link or whatever. And I'm like, it said the thing came up saying, oh, he has to be following you in order for you to send.
He did unfollow you then.
John
Bailey. I don't know if you heard, but I drove all around LA on a Friday.
John Bailey, big time in you.
Although we're pretty sure that John forgot Mark's name.
Oh, that was annoying too.
Before the whole thing was even done.
Oh wow!
And so he may have just looked at you and went, "I don't know this guy."
That's true.
I don't know who this guy is.
I only drove you around LA for 4 hours while you did your Matthew McConaughey, Christopher Walken, Optimus Prime impressions.
Sounds like you got sick of that a little bit.
No, I loved it. I tweeted at him. I'm like, driving in LA sucks, but if you're with John Bailey, it's fucking awesome.
Nice.
He favorited it.
He's very good. He's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun hanging out with him. He
doesn't have an off switch, but he's
he doesn't. No.
We all noticed that.
Yeah. There's nothing.
But no, it's great that you guys took so much time, all three of you, to sit and chat.
Yeah.
With us.
You know, the fact that you reach out, like, I'm glad we're able to make it work. But
well, it's more complicated because we got to come up from San Diego to make it happen too.
Sure. I appreciate you guys, traveled up here. And we would be nothing without, like people who appreciate the work that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for having me and for watching the content and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we admire what you guys are doing. I mean, we're doing our own version of that sort of thing down in San Diego too.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, we're not as big as you guys, but we certainly have our aspirations.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, that's like it starts with one show, one idea at a time, and then staying at
our whole first year. The whole first year, my whole goal was just I'm going to get through an entire year of doing these, at least one a week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get through the whole first year. We got through the whole first year, and the next goal was we're going to reach 100, and at 100, we'll start, you know, really exploring how to make it even bigger.
So, you guys are.
Yeah, you guys like are part of.
I saw you at WonderCon a couple months ago. I guess. I was kidding. I'm a fan. I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever see Hal again, but here you are.
Here we are, sitting in a living room in Hollywood.
Sebastian's couch. Yeah.
Having a great time.
Yeah. No, definitely having some laughs.
Yeah. Geek conversations like we've known each other for years.
Yep.
That's right. Do you get that a lot with fans? Are like, oh, I'm so familiar with you that I feel like I know you.
It's funny. Yeah. Because we have in common, we are all looking forward to the Star Wars movie. We're all we all saw Avengers. We all watched Game of Thrones. Yeah. So that's kind of like the great equalizer, you know?
Yeah. Somebody asked me, 25, 30 episodes into our podcast, they're like, what do you talk to these people? Like, how do you just go and have conversations with people you don't know that last an hour, 2 hours long? I'm like, because they're actors and they're filmmakers and they're geeks.
Oh, yeah, get us talking about our favorite subjects.
We all have shit to talk about, you know? It's like, but it's not that hard, you know? We're all passionate about something. It's a matter of just finding the thing that we're passionate about that we can converse on.
Whether it's burgers or sneakers.
Sneakers. Yeah. I love that it's sneakers.
Aren't they coming up with a Back to the Future Marty McFly sneaker?
Yeah,
is
they
that
are.
True?
Yeah, yeah. The self-tying laces are supposed to be out before the year.
Yeah, because it's 2015.
Yeah,
maybe you'll get to see it at the.
It's got to be there.
Yeah,
Chris Hardwick won't be at.
There'll definitely be
Comic-Con.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some Marty McFly sneaks.
Nice.
That's sneaker cool. Con.
Is there anything else you want to plug here?
Yeah, please, if you're not doing it already, follow me on at Hal Rudnick. HALRUDNICK. We'll talk movies, TV. I'll tell you my favorite burgers in LA, and then we'll exchange pictures, and then you can block me.
And don't forget to download What's the VIG on Amazon for $2.99. It was a stinky turd we made about 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're trying to get those numbers
he's
up.
He's been plugging the shit out of this.
What's
it's a
thing?
Regular ongoing joke.
It's a feature film we shot in San Diego 10 years ago. We had like 20 grand.
Yeah.
And an XL1S, and we shot a movie.
Hey, I've...
We'd never shot a feature before.
Good
and
for you.
The guy who wrote it had never had anything he written actually produced before. And
or since.
We learned a lot of stuff. No, you did another movie.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But we had a great time. And it's available on Amazon. So Mark, since he's joined up with us January, February timeframe, every episode he's plugging this movie that's been on. It's been on Amazon for, almost 8 years, 9 years?
Sure.
We've sold 2 discs in 8 or 9 years. And now because of Mark, we've sold 2 more in the last month.
I doubled the numbers, Hal. Thanks to the podcast listeners here at The Intellectual.
Do you hand deliver these?
I act out my scenes that I'm in.
I can't bring myself to show my face.
I can't admit that I was actually in this film. So it was
until you see it. So,
is what's the VIG? Is that like a gambling term? The VIG?
It's a gangster term. It's
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Short for vigorous or sauce.
Oh, look at this guy.
It's Yiddish.
Hey, Paisan. Oh.
It's Yiddish.
Oh, I knew there was something I liked about you.
Okay.
Are you? Rudnick, what kind of name is that?
But what kind of name is Atkins? What the?
It's a last name. Jesus.
I mean, Eastern European Jew. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Schwartz.
All right. I wasn't sure. I'd never heard of a Rudnick before.
Okay.
Paul Rudnick is a famous screenwriter. Yeah, I don't know. There aren't that many Rudnicks.
Stephen Schwartz, but... very famous composer. Not me. No.
There's a lot of Schwartzes out there.
FAO Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz. Yep.
There's no T in FAO Schwartz.
Oh, okay.
Oh, closing down, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, guys, this has been a delight.
Yep.
Thank you, David, Stephen, Mark. See, I did better than John Bailey. Yes. I remembered everyone's names.
He took a jab at you on the show.
Yeah, he did.
Too. Oh, what'd he say? What'd he say?
He said that you say his name like you call him
Bailey.
Bailey.
John Bailey.
Oh, he always makes fun of my voice.
Follow me on Twitter. Yeah, that's what he did.
No, I'm ironic. Follow me on Twitter. Man, he does my voice like I'm prepubescent. Yeah.
He did me too. I was like, I don't sound like that.
Yeah. Oh well, John Bailey. John Bailey. I don't know. That's the New Jersey accent coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
gentlemen. Thanks for the good times. Let's go to a strip club.
Thank you, Mr. Rudnick.
There's the clown place right by Titan. Jumbo's clown. There it is. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/IXE. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Audible.com is your source for digital audiobooks. My personal favorite is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, read by Stephen Fry. It's amazing. So get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook download, and show your support for the Intellectual Podcast by going to www.audibletrial.com/IXE.